Dead faces in the water. Dead faces everywhere. Chapter 1. The Rising. A Prologue. Summary. The Rising begins. It started, at least in Mirkwood, when the king came home. He was dead, of course, and had been dead for 3,000 years at that point. The world had changed so much in the years since his death that he would have barely recognized it had he been conscious enough to see the lands he walked through. But he wasn't. He was dead. He was dead, and the dead followed after. Orifur and Gilthawin and Hosalas and Tethion and Ingwalig and Hebenestor and all the others who had died with their king in the land of Mordor where the shadows lie. It started when the dead came home. Their bodies should have rotted away to nothing long ago. Nothing but the ghosts of dead faces staring up unseeing forever out of the fetid waters. They should have, but the Dark Lord who had ruled that dark land, who had clawed his way out of his own grave more than once, had left a mark on Mordor too deep to be erased even by his own destruction. He had been a craftsman, after all, that Maia once called Sauron and once called Mairon and even, once, named Anatar by those unfortunate enough to love and trust him to their own destruction. He had been a craftsman that lost Maia, and his favorite media was souls. Perhaps someone should have worried more about those bodies in the dead marshes outside the land of Mordor. Perhaps someone should have worried sooner about the way their faces did not fade from the foul waters, even when their flesh was centuries gone. Perhaps someone should have remembered that necromancer had been one of the names by which Sauron had been known, too. Perhaps someone should have remembered why. The bodies in the dead marshes had drained to dust and rot centuries ago, leaving nothing but dead echoes rippling in the water. But that water lay outside a necromancer's lair, in lands that had been long poisoned by his loathsome arts. Dead and gone they were, those men and dwarves and elves and orcs who had died fighting there so long ago. Dead and gone and rotting. But even dead, the echoes of their souls endured. Trapped, corrupted, their spirits rotting from within, they endured. And eventually, they rose. The risen dead were no army to be commanded by the wraiths who held dominion over the ruin of Mordor now. Their unliving corpses were driven only by hunger for life, for flesh. They could not be commanded, or controlled, or contained. There were no spirits left within their dead husks to be commanded. The dead scattered when they rose, following the smells and sounds and flickering lights of the living wherever their shambling feet could wander, following nothing but their own individual hunger, even as they moved and moaned as a mindless mob. Some fell on the white walls of Minas Tirith, or wandered on into the lands of the Horse Lords, or further yet to the high peaks of the misty mountains and the lands beyond. Some wandered back into the barren lands of Mordor, where they found little life to sustain them. Some wandered further and found warm flesh to bite, to feed upon, and see their sickness spread. Some died a second death, broken at the bottom of cliffs, or shattered beneath a mumok's hoof, or trapped in fetid pools until their dead flesh rotted and their bones washed out to the sea. But Orifur came back to his beloved Mirkwood. Some said it was Dhul Guldur, looming like a lodestone in those tall black trees, drawing the dead. Others said it was because even in death, the forest still called her old king home. Whatever the reason, he came, and death followed with him. Orifur came home, and the rising began. Up next, an elf leaves home.